But it is just taking ages to that. What it is just very spinning. Looking last time at the covenant of grace that was given to Abraham, if you will recall, there are two ways that really way to understand the covenant given to Abraham was that there is both a spiritual aspect to it, but there was a temporal aspect. You have to consider the two separately. And we saw that there were five aspects of the covenant given, the spiritual covenant, covenant of grace given to Abraham that we were looking at last time. And we saw that the seed that was spoken of, Abraham's seed, has this spiritual aspect. And we know that because we find that in Galatians 3. We found it in verses 16, 17. Now, to Abraham's seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which is 430 years after, cannot disavow that it should make the promise null effect. So the seed that Abraham was promised was that the ultimate seed was to find its fulfillment in Christ. And we also saw, if you remember last time, that the gospel was preached to Abraham. So again, we found that in Galatians. Just turn again to Galatians chapter 3, and we found it just yes, here we are. We find in verse 8, just reading from verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And there you have the key, don't you, to know, even though it's difficult for us to understand what Abraham could have gleaned from those words, that in him all nations the earth be blessed. The only way I can understand is when you go back, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where you have the promise of the Messiah given. Let me just return us there to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And her, that's the woman's seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we have to see, we have to realize that Abraham, along with all the other believing saints in the Old Testament, were looking for the fulfillment of that promise. They were looking for this seed that would bruise Satan's head, the serpent's head. The serpent that had caused Adam and Eve to disobey God. And we see here also, as you will see in Galatians 3, verse 15, that there are two types of seed. And you might think that's strange, you know, the seed of the serpent. We think the seed of the serpent will have the other snakes. But it's plainly not talking about snakes. It's talking about sons, spiritual sons of Satan and spiritual sons of God. Spiritual sons of Satan, we were all spiritual sons of Satan, because as we know from John chapter 8, we're all children of the devil because we're all liars, like the father of lies. But we, there are also, thankfully, as well as the children of the devil, there are little children of God by faith, those who are appointed before the foundation of the world. These God reveals. And there were a number of the children of the promising. There were those who were believing that God would bring the Messiah. He would bring the seed of the woman, which was Christ. And they were looking for a Messiah from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So that's the background. We went in a bit more further detail of how that promise continued to be kept alive. And it came to Abraham. And Abraham, we must assume, had in his mind what God had said to the woman in Genesis 3, verse 15. So when he heard that all the nations of the world were blessed through him, he would not have seen that just as a sort of worldly blessing, but he would be looking for that spiritual seed, which was Christ. That's the way to see it, because it says, doesn't it, that the gospel was preached. That's what Galatians says. So we must accept by faith that the gospel was in those words in Galatians 3, verse 8. Howbeit, when you knew, sorry, that's a wrong one. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So that's just by way of recapping. And we also saw in Galatians 3, verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, count disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. So saying that the, sorry, go back to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one. The promise was to be fulfilled in Christ. Not just, as it were, in Christ, going to verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. We are children of Abraham in Christ, children of Christ, as it were, children of Abraham, heirs according to the promise. Now, we looked at 4 points. We didn't come to the fifth point that arises out of the promises given to Abraham. Let me just, sorry, find my document, which has disappeared. Here we are. Last time we came to our fifth point, the way of salvation by faith in Christ in this covenant. We come to the way of salvation within the covenant, which is by faith Christ. This is a covenant given to Abraham. Romans 4, verse 16 states that the way of salvation is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the father of the faithful. And we get a lovely picture we've already seen in Luke chapter 16, where you see Lazarus resting in Abraham's bosom. Father of the faith, because Lazarus was justified by faith. Now, there is one covenant which brings the blessing of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that has its foundation in the eternal decree and counsel of God, which is now being revealed to Abraham. Now, having been foreshadowed in Genesis 3:15, there's one covenant which brings the blessing of salvation, and it has its foundation in the eternal decree and counsel of God. And I say the eternal decree and counsel of God. We must understand that before the world even began, there was an agreement between the three persons of the Trinity, called the covenant of redemption, whereby God the Father decreed that there would be an elect that would be saved in Christ. So one of the places we can see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So before even the world began, we have been blessed in spiritual with all spiritual blessings in Christ, having been chosen in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, which presupposes, doesn't it, that there must have been an agreement between the three persons of the Trinity before the beginning of the world. We see that in Psalm 2, where Psalm 2, we have that promise given to. Just very briefly turn there, Psalm 2, where the Lord, where we see the Father say to the Son, Thou art my Son, verse 7, this day have I begotten thee, ask of me, and I shall give thee the even for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth thy possession. So there you have a promise that God would give his Son a people. People are those who are the seed of Abraham in Galatians 3, verse 29. So that promise, that agreement was made between the three persons of the Trinity before the world began. And we see it then, see that promise revealed to mankind. First of all, we see it revealed to mankind in Genesis 3, verse 15. We see it, we traced it through the Old Testament up to Abraham. So there is this one covenant that brings the blessing of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that has its foundation in the eternal decree and counsel of God, in that covenant of redemption for the beginning of time, and has been revealed to Abraham, foreshadowed in Genesis 3:15. In this covenant, the way of salvation by faith is plainly set forth as being by faith and not by works, not requiring natural descent from Abraham or any external sign such as circumcision. In other words, you didn't have to be a natural descendant of Abraham. And again, you'll be familiar with that scripture in Rome at the end of Romans chapter 2, what a true Jew is. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You're not just a Jew because you're born of Jewish parents or a Jewish mother, which is what the qualification is today. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is out of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. So that's what a true Jew is. A true Jew is one who's been circumcised in his heart. In other words, is a child of Abraham who's believing in the promised seed. Unfortunately, most Jews are not, are they? Most of them are out of the covenant. They've been cut off, branches have been cut off because they have rejected Christ as Messiah. As I say, Sarah went to, we're coming up to it now, we're coming up to Passover. I was invited to a Passover. It's a wonderful, it's a great privilege to go. But oh, how empty! Because they weren't seeing the Passover as a shadow foreshadowing Christ. They didn't see Christ in the Passover, so it was empty. It was just a historical event. Of course, we see the Passover as foreshadowing Christ. By walking according to Abraham's faith, as Paul wrote in Romans 4, verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham, therefore, became the example of the justification of a sinner before God for all generations to come. And that's plain from Romans 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Remember again, what did he believe? He believed that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him, through his seed, coming from Genesis, foreshadowing the cross. Then go to Rome at the end of Romans chapter 4 to see exactly what. Was foreshadowed in his faith. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, righteousness shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Remember what we said? That ditty, which you remembered, we've been taught as children. That the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. So, Romans, the end of Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, reveals what Abraham believed, what he was looking for, revealed here. So, we as children of Abraham. This is what we believe. This is how righteousness is imputed both to Abraham and to us who have the benefit now of having those promises revealed. They're no longer types, but now we see the reality. You see what they were types of. Now, we're going to consider some propositions which arise from what we've been learning. First, the covenant of grace was confirmed and sealed by a promise to Abraham, which was about 25 years before the covenant of circumcision was given to him. In other words, what's important about that is that the covenant of grace had no outward sign or seal given to it. Genesis 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Remember that the gospel is within this phrase, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Circumcision didn't come for another 5 chapters. Genesis chapter 17, verse 11, ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token betwixt me and you. It was not until the New Testament that any outward sign was attached to the covenant of grace. Had it been otherwise, then that sign would have had to have remained throughout the New Testament as well. But it didn't, because there was no such sign. Instead, circumcision vanished away along with the rest of the Mosaic ceremonies. And the book of Galatians is all there to tell us that you don't, that those who taught that you had to be circumcised as well as born again were Judaizers. They were adding to the gospel. So as well as believing, you've got to be circumcised. No, that is wrong. That is a heresy, according to Paul. Second, the promise made to Abraham, given the seed, that is Christ and those who believe in him, as well as the blessing of that seed, which is salvation to him. The promise made to Abraham gives the seed, as well as the blessing of that seed, salvation to him. So Abraham had the blessings of that seed, salvation as well. Believers are the children of promise. Just like Isaac, because just as Isaac was begotten by God, as it were, by giving him to Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah was too old to bear children, so believers are begotten by God by faith. You see, they had to believe that God was able to give them a child. I mean, think about it. There's still only one way to have a baby. Now, if you're 90 and 80, you probably think, well, for us to come together in the act of sexual union when we're so old, it's absurd. Why are we going to do that? We're going to do that because God promised that even though Sarah is too old naturally have a baby, God has promised that she would. So our act of faith is to believe that and to act according to that belief, to come together. And indeed we know what Uzzah was. So you see how Isaac was begotten by faith. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, and it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that is, those who are Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, Gentiles as well. Just as the blessing is spiritual, so the seed is spiritual. Third, all gospel blessings are found in this promise to Abraham. So the heirs of this blessing given to Abraham must have a right to all the promises of the new covenant and not just some. And I ask for any of you who do believe in infant baptism, just to be open-minded, perhaps, if you would be on this, as I explain this. See, Peter Baptists do believe that there are some promises which are given to children, to children of believers, and some that are not. Those promises are made, but the promises of the new covenant are made good to all the children of that covenant. And all the more so if we consider the blessings of this covenant with Abraham are bound to believers by means of their union and communion with the Lord Jesus, who is the fountain from which all the blessings of the new covenant are derived by us. Since these blessings were bought, purchased by the Lord Jesus, so they will be entirely applied to all the beneficiaries, not just part of them, not just some of them, but all of them. Therefore, the limiting of a new covenant interest to an external and temporary privilege is what is said will happen to children of believers being born of believing parents is inconsistent with the promises of the covenant, such as Isaiah 54, verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 59, verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Then Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, together with Hebrews 8, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Those are five promises, or four promises, from the Old Testament concerning the covenant of grace. Nehemiah Cox referred to the following commendation of Peter Baptism is to come from Whiston's infant baptism. Let me read this. This is the justification of a paedobaptist, an infant baptist, that the infant seed of believers during their infancy have all of them a certain and definite interest in the covenant of grace, by virtue of which they are completely justified before God from the guilt of original sin, both originans and originatum, originating Adam's act and originated stain in the individual's nature. And yet when they come to years of discretion, they may, yea, must, by their actual closing with or refusing the terms of the covenant, either obtain the continuation and confirmation of their covenant interest, or be utterly and finally cut off from it, and so perish in their ignorance of God and rebellion against him. So they have some of the blessings of the covenant according to this understanding of paedobaptism. They have their original sin washed away as the originating act, and stain on the individual's nature. So that's the so in effect he has a clean slate. Yet when they come to years of discretion, they choose. And if they don't close with Christ, then they are cut off. And if they do close with Christ, then they will continue to be beneficiaries covenant. However, the promises of the new covenant are not conditional, and they are not partial. Either the stain of the original sin in babies is removed and its dominion is destroyed when their guilt is pardoned, or it is not. If it is, then the principle of the perseverance of the saints applies to them in the same way as to other believers who are saved by grace because of their actual faith. If the final apostasy could happen to children, then why not to adults too? The answer given by Peter Baptists is that despite their being pardoned, they remain unclean and so are incapable of going to heaven. However, not his own blood, wrote Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So none are washed by him except those that are in Christ, the second Adam. It is by being united to the Lord Jesus as the root or the foundation of the new covenant that a person receives the free gift of justification. And none can be united to Christ unless the Holy Spirit dwells in them. Wherever the Spirit of Christ, of God, applies the blood of Christ to a person, then it is for the remission of their sins and for the cleansing of their conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So anyone whose sins are pardoned under the new covenant also receive the Spirit to renew their natures and conform their souls into the image of Christ. As Nehemiah Cox put it, to assert that the grace of Christ is applied only for the remission of sin, or that the guilt of sin can be pardoned while that sin retains dominion over him, is both unscriptural and inconsistent with the doctrine that is according to godliness. In conclusion, it is clear that a believer's claim to the blessings of the new covenant is because a person is Abraham's seed by faith and not as one of equal rank as Abraham. Each person is not the father of a blessed seed, such as Abraham was, and neither are we, therefore, the father of the faithful as he was. In other words, we're not naturally the father of a faithful seed. And that's what this is where I think the problem comes when you mix the spiritual with the temporal. What was, and indeed we know that not all of Abraham's natural seed were part of the promise anyway, because he had lots of children who were not heirs of the promise, only Isaac and his seed, not Ishmael and the children of Keturah. Whereas Abraham could claim the seed, we cannot do the same ourselves. Instead, we must accept that we are children of Abraham and so receive the blessing that is Abraham's seed or children, which is the plain teaching of Galatians 3, verse 29. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If we be Christ's, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there we have it, that a person receives the blessings of Abraham's promise if we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, then we will be kept. Again, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, we see it very clearly there. One of the things I like about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, verse 3. Sorry, I mean that. Sorry, verse 4. It's that it tells us why we're chosen. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy for him in love. What's the purpose of being chosen by God in Christ? That we should be holy and blameless before him. In other words, the person who is chosen in Christ is chosen to be holy. There isn't a partial choice, which is the inevitable goal of believing in for baptism, so that you get a partial blessing in that you are cleansed, your original sin is taken away, and you don't have the stain of it in you anymore. But nor do you have the Spirit of God that causes you to persevere to the end. So you're not chosen to be holy and blameless, because actually at that stage we don't feel going to be holy and blameless. You haven't come to the years of discretion when you can choose. I hope that clarifies the importance of separating the promises that are spiritual, given to Abraham 25 years before 17. Then we'll come on, we won't start this week, we'll come on, God willing, next time to see what were the temporal promises given and the promise given to the natural seed of Abraham, and how that was a picture of the true church. So if there are any questions, I'm just going to finish the recording and then open up for any questions.